Today we have the privilege of studying Divrei HaYamim Bet, Perek Yud Bet, 12th chapter of 2 Chronicles. This chapter tells the story of Rehavaam's war against Shishak. Shishak was Pharaoh of Egypt at the time, and the story of Rehavaam's conflict with Shishak is known from at least two other sources. First of all, it is mentioned briefly in Malachim Bet, and second of all, and perhaps no less importantly, it is also mentioned in the annals of Sheshonk, the Egyptian pharaoh who's called in Tanakh Shishak, on the Bubastis gates in his palace in the temple of Amon in Egypt. Records of the discussions of the records of Shishak's campaign to Eretz Israel or Sheshonk's campaign to Eretz Israel can be found easily in any academic discussion of Divrei HaYamim or of Melachim Bet. Perhaps the easiest place to access the material is either in the volume of the Anchor Bible Commentary on 2 Kings, edited by Mordechai Kogan, or in the Encyclopedia Olam HaTanach volume on Divrei HaYamim, which is part of a series put out in Israel, which integrates ancient Near Eastern sources together with biblical material. Now, what interests us for our purposes is how the campaign of Shishak against Rehavaam is portrayed in this chapter, in Divrei HaYamim. It differs both from the portrayal in Melachim and from the portrayal in Sheshonk's own archives. In Sheshonk's own annals. In Melachim, we find there is a very brief mention of Rehavaam's campaign against Shishak, and it focuses on what losses occurred to the Beit HaMikdash. That is the focus of the discussion in Melachim about Shishak. In Shishak's own annals, of course, the focus is on the glorious victories of Shishak, and it contains a very long, two very long lists, of cities in Eretz Israel which Shishak claims to have captured, or to have despoiled, more accurately. And the annals show that this is really a raid on Eretz Israel, not an attempt to conquer Eretz Israel to permanently possess it, but a raid to obtain booty and go back to Egypt. Now the list is very interesting. The two lists are interesting. The second list is the list of cities in the Negev. There's an extensive list of cities in the Negev, including Arad is mentioned twice there, and various other cities. The list from the north, from the central part of Eretz Israel, contains the capital cities of Malchut Yisrael. It also contains a series of cities on the west side of Yerushalayim, Ayalon, Giv'on, and so on, but it does not include Yerushalayim. And so Shishak appears to have raided extensively on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, but not come to Yerushalayim. So if we wanted to present a sort of objective, dry statement of facts, what happened? Shishak wanted a raid, came to Eretz Yisrael, raided many cities, came near Yerushalayim, and left Yerushalayim. Why? Probably because he was paid off enough not to get to Yerushalayim. Now, how does Divrei HaYamim take those dry, raw, historical pieces of information and integrate them into a programmatic story that teaches us a lesson? Let's see that as we look at Perek Yud Bet, 12th chapter of Divrei HaYamim Bet. Interestingly, the first pasuk gives us the key. Vayhi keachin malchut Rehavaam uchechezkato, azav et Torat Hashem v'chol Yisrael imo. When Rehavaam's kingdom became established, and as he became strong, he abandoned the Torah of God along with all of Israel. What is this a reference to? This is not necessarily a reference to an abandonment of specific mitzvot, for which we find no specific statements in the previous psukim, but rather it seems to be a reference to the building of the cities mentioned in Perek Yud Aleph. As we saw in the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, there's a whole list of cities that Rehavaam is said to have fortified, cities surrounding Yerushalayim, and also I had a list of several lines of defensive forts. And that building, coupled with a lack of an acknowledgement in the process of the building that the possibilities of defending Yehuda are due to God, and the idea of showing gratitude to God for the opportunity to defend Yehuda, The fact that all that is omitted indicates that Rechava'am sees himself as the author and the architect of these building projects. And that in and of itself, the statement, the sort of kochi ve'otzem yadi attitude, the attitude of force and pride in possession of wealth and force, is what condemns Rechava'am in the judgment of Baal Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim then gives the statement of what happens when Shishak comes up in Pasuk Bet. Vayhi bashana ha-chamishit la-melech Rechava'am ala Shishak melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim ki ma'alu bashem. Shishak comes up against Yerushalayim ki ma'alu bashem. The verb ma'al, to trespass against God, is used repeatedly in Divrei Hayamim to indicate a sin, and it's used extensively throughout by Cheney literature to indicate a sin, and it seems to refer to the idea of not giving credit to God, seeing oneself as responsible for the good things that happen and not seeing God as the one who gives these things, and therefore it's the idea of sort of buying on extra credit, living very high on the credit line, and continuing to charge things without paying off the debt. The only way you pay off the debt to God is by loyalty and by gratitude. And when you act disloyally, you are at the same time racking up credit by taking God's bounty and not paying off your credit by not acknowledging it. And the verb ma'al indicates the idea of taking something that's not yours. That's the attitude throughout Bai Cheney literature, that we, the Jewish people living in the time of Bai Cheney specifically, owe enormous gratitude to God, even though the situation in Eretz Israel is very difficult. Nevertheless, we owe gratitude to God for the fact that we weren't destroyed in the Babylonian exile. And therefore, we have to show gratitude to him and show loyalty to him. And so here in this story, the Baal Divrei Hayamim is condemning the Jews of the time of Rechava'am for their attitude of Me'ilah, for not showing gratitude to God for the opportunity to strengthen the kingdom physically and militarily, which was discussed in chapter 11. The details of Shishak's attack on Yehuda are given in Psukim 3 and 4. And what's particularly fascinating is the description of Shishak's armies, which we find in Pasuk Gimel. Luvim, Sukiim, V'chushim. He is said to have come with large armies coming from Libya, from someplace called Suki, from Scythia, and from Cushim, from Ethiopia. What's interesting is that Shishak himself is known from the Egyptian text to have come from a Libyan dynasty. That's not information that appears in Melachim, and it appears that Baal Divrei Hayamim has certain additional information about Shishak's attack that is not contained in Melachim. Immediately upon the attack, we have the warning of the prophet. And the warning of the prophet is a ubiquitous theme and ubiquitous motif in Divrei Hayamim. Every punishment is preceded by a warning. And the warning comes always from a prophet. Shemaya is the prophet who delivers this warning. And the warning is contained in Pasuk Hei. U'Shemaya ha-Navi ba'al Rechava'am v'sarei Yehuda asher nesfu al Yerushalayim mipnei Shishak. And Shemaya the prophet came to Rechava'am and the officers of Yehuda who gathered into Yerushalayim from before Shishak, in other words, to take refuge from before Shishak. Vayomer lahem, he said to them, Ko amar Hashem, thus says God, Atem azavtem oti, va'af ani azavti etechem bi'ad Shishak, you have abandoned me, I have abandoned you in the hands of Shishak. God is not going to protect you because you have abandoned him. How have you abandoned him? You haven't shown gratitude to him. Immediately, Pasuk Vav, we see the response. Vayikan usarei Yehuda, Vayikan usarei Yisrael v'hamelech v'yomru tzadik Hashem. The officers of Israel and the king together submit, and they say God is the righteous one. What does it mean here that God is the righteous one? Not obviously God is righteous, but the idea that God is victorious. Tzadik also means victorious. God is the one who is in the just party here, and we are the unjust party. God is the tzaddik in this court case, kivyachol, and we are the rasha. He has given us. We haven't acknowledged his power. We deserve our fate. Therefore, by submitting and by acknowledging God's supremacy and by acknowledging that there power and strength comes from God, they turn the judgment around and they therefore become deserving of divine assistance. And that is seen in Pasuk Zayin. Uvirot Hashem ki nichna, when God sees that they had submitted, Hayad var Hashem Shmaya lemor, nichna'u lo ashchitem. God speaks to Shmaya and says, they have submitted, I will not destroy them. Venatati lehem kim'at lifleta, velotitach hamati b'Yerushalayim b'yad Shishak, I will give them a small remnant as a small portion as a remnant, and my anger will not be poured out upon Yerushalayim in the hand of Shishak. In other words, the kingdom of Judah will suffer in the hands of Shishak, but will not be destroyed. Pasuk Chet is particularly interesting. Ki yu lo la'avadim v'yed'u avodati v'avodat mamlechot ha'aratzot. They will become his servants, God says. They will know both my servitude and the servitude of the kingdoms of the nations. This is an unusual and interesting and loaded pasuk, where God seems to say that by the device of becoming subservient to other kings, they will be able to compare what it's like to be subservient to other kings and to become subservient to God. This is again a motif that's very relevant for Bayit Sheni Judaism, where all of Bayit Sheni is lived under the vassalage of other kingdoms. There is always an overlord, be it Persian, Greek, or Roman. And the idea is that those overlords are there to teach us a lesson. If we are loyal to God, we will not have overlords. And the overlords are there to show us what it's like to have a human overlord, and therefore to encourage us to recognize divine overlordship and divine supremacy. Psukim Tet to Yud Aleph summarize the material we have in Malachim, that Rechava'am had paid a tribute to Shishak, consisting of silver and gold from the temple treasury, as a result of which he had to make shields of bronze instead of the shields of gold to arm the guards in the Beit HaMikdash. And then we're told in Pasuk Yud Bet, Uvikano shav mimenu af Hashem velo lahashchit lechala. When he submitted to God, God's anger turned away from him and God did not destroy him completely. And so too in Yehuda, there were good things. Uvgam b'Yehuda, hayad devarim tovim, and we're not told exactly what those good things are. Nevertheless, it appears that the remainder of Rechava'am's kingship was peaceful. He reigns in Yerushalayim. And then the conclusion in Pasuk Tetvav and Tetzayin, V'divrei Rechava'am harishonim v'acharonim, haloim ktuvim v'divrei Shmaya hanavi v'ido achozeh lityaches, ומלחמות רחבעם וירבעם כל הימים. The words of, or the affairs of רחבעם, both the early and the later ones, they are written in the books of Shmaya the prophet and Ido the seer, in order to create genealogies. Those are books, those are no longer books that we have, but they are fascinating. The mention of them is very tantalizing. There were apparently records of prophecy records by prophets written in the time of Bayit Rishon, which existed in some form and came down to Baal Divrei Hayamim, which we no longer have. There's an emphasis in these books on genealogy, which is interesting, something we find in Bayit Sheni literature, which we don't really find in Bayit Rishon literature. There's also a mention here of wars between Rechava'am and Yeravam, mentioned record of which we have in Melachim. Vayishkav Rechava'am im avotav, vayikaver be'ir David, vayimloch aviyav v'not tachtav. Rechava'am lay with his fathers, he was buried in the city of David, aviyah his son reigned in his place.